Kitchener Today with Brian Burke on 570 News.
Last week, one of the crowning achievements for the Olympics was the gold medal win by the women's soccer team. Today, we have the opportunity to talk with Dr. Melissa Horn, a local expert on diversity, equity, and inclusion, on the impact of that win on girls in sports. Good afternoon, Dr. Horn.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. A recent Canadian Women in Sports study has come out, and it shows us that one in four girls are not committed to returning to sports post-COVID. The Pandemic Impact on Girls in Sport report collected data from over 5,000 Canadian families. 25% of girls are not committing to returning to sport. If we extrapolate those numbers across the country, we could see over 400,000 decide to stay on the sidelines. Dr. Horn, what steps need to be taken to change that possible outcome?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the numbers are pretty staggering. You know, when I think about this from an equity perspective, you know, I think about these games, and the past Olympic Games really raise a lot of issues around what's important to women. So, you know, we had women who had to say that they weren't going to the games because they weren't able to bring the babies that they were nursing. So, you know, we have women who are having to choose family or their sport. We are seeing women starting the Norwegian women's handball team refuse to wear regulation uniforms despite financial sanctions. The German gymnastics team wore full-legged unitards. So, you know, there's a number of components that are impacting women or young girls' access to sport. So one of these actually is their social media, their concerns around body image, concern around the hypersexualization of some of the women's sports. So as we start to see women in these you know, upper echelons of athletics starting to protest and say what they want in terms of having access to choose both their family and their sport, right? Not having to choose one or the other. As we start to see more women in coaching positions, we're going to start to see representation, right? So girls want to see coaches who look like them. So not even just, you know, white coaches, we want to see coaches of color. And all this starts with putting funding and thinking about how do we make sports more accessible and equitable for young girls. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why girls, you know, don't continue to play. Part of this is socioeconomic status. Girls in in homes with household incomes over $100,000 are more likely to participate in sports compared to those in homes where the household income is under $50,000. There's still, you know, social stigma and negative media and social media portrayals of women in sports, right? So even though culturally we are becoming more and more accepting of LGBTQ plus persons, there is still the stereotype that girls who play sports are identified as LGBTQ plus. There's cost. There's, I said, the lack of positive role models, although that's changing, and a lack of representation and opportunities for women in leadership roles, although we're starting to see that. So we need to start to address these issues from the ground up, and if we're going to start to see girls continue to participate in sport.
And we did have a few moments in the Olympics. How much of a bright light was it for Simone Biles to come out and say, look, I am not competing, and the reason I'm not competing is I need to look after my own mental health? Is that a step in the right direction in so many different ways?
Absolutely. I think what Simone Biles did was absolutely brave and transformative. I think that there's a ton of pressures put on athletes, especially at this level. And to step away and say, you know, I'm looking after my mental health and being brave enough and courageous enough to be able to say that, you know, and then to be able to come back and compete on her own terms, right? So, you know, a lot of people were thinking, you know, she owes us something to be performing here. She's letting her team down. To me, I think she made the right decision for her health and for her team to step back, knowing that there were other teammates who could compete. And the U.S., you know, still did extremely well. So I think we're starting to see a ton of positive role models for women. You know, the other bright light is Quinn,
right?
Who is the first transgender non-binary athlete to win, you know, a gold medal. how amazing is it for young trans and non-binary athletes to see themselves represented on, you know, the world's biggest stage, and to be and to not be misgendered anymore. I mean, that was really important. You know, we saw early on that Quinn had was misgendered in the commentating, and social media picked up and said, no, you know, to the commentator, if you can, you know, remember all these stats and figures, you can be sure to use Quinn's proper pronouns.
Right, get the pronouns right.
Exactly. And so I think that there's been a ton of positive outcomes from this. I think the other bright light is just that, you know, by the end of the first week of the Olympics, women athletes accounted for all 11 medals at the end of the first week. So, and they did that similarly in Rio. They won more medals than their male counterparts. So, you know, despite sort of these barriers, women are still doing well and they're succeeding. And we're starting to see, you know, more and more momentum. But obviously there's more to be done.
Now, I think I'm going to go back about 6 years ago. And right after the Toronto Blue Jays had their amazing run in the playoffs of 2015, I was involved with coaching in minor baseball in the region. And the number of athletes who signed up for minor baseball in the region the season after that shot way up. Is that are there studies that show us the same thing happens when you know, a young woman gets to see a Canadian team step up and win a gold medal in a sport that they've grown to love throughout their life?
Absolutely. I mean, anecdotally, we know that Ashley Lawrence and Jessie Fleming were inspired by watching the Canadian women's team win bronze in the 2012 Olympics. And now, you know, they were obviously part of this 2020 gold-winning team. So, absolutely. Representation matters. Media coverage matters. And the type of media coverage matters as well. So, you know, when women are given the opportunity to have visibility, to perform, and to have the positive coverage that we have, you know, young girls and boys see women on TV. They get excited. And they want to sign up and they want to play. And, you know, that's the first step, is getting kids excited and wanting to play. The next step is ensuring that as they, you know, continue throughout their career, that they see positive role models that look like them in the sport, so that they can see an opportunity and path for themselves to continue forward. But absolutely, you know, the other thing that that the women's national team is now calling for is asking for either a Canadian professional soccer league,
right,
or bringing up a team from the U.S. National Women's Soccer League.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's a ton of will and support. And what we need is folks to invest and look at women's sport with the same eye that they do to men's sport and fund it equitably.
Absolutely. How do we create a safe and respectful environment for girls to participate in sport and in physical activity?
Yeah, I think, you know, it starts with having really good coaches, right? Coaches have such a huge impact. You know, I was a young athlete. You know, I played sports all the way up until university. And having women coaches was so important to me. But I think also, you know, ensuring that coaches have training, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know more and more that coaches are taking diversity, equity, and inclusion training. So, you know, it's around respecting young kids' pronoun preference, right? That's important.
Right.
Being sensitive to the fact that you may have an LGBTQ athlete on your team. Having a code of conduct that promotes inclusive language, right? And so it really does start with providing coaches the proper training, and also for parents as well.
Right.
Having parents on the sidelines engaged and cheering, and having that equitable mindset is really important as well. The other stuff that we don't think about is also facilities and access and the quality of the athlete experience. So oftentimes, you know, why we see girls dropping out is they don't perceive that they have the same experience as the boys. So the gym facilities aren't as good.
Right.
The practice times aren't as good. So we need to look at, you know, in our youth leagues and rec leagues, ensuring that we're not sort of unintentionally biasing, you know, the boys over the girls and valuing the sport the same.
When we take a look, Dr. Horn, at dealing with a global pandemic where many people are now hesitant maybe to return to activities that they might have enjoyed playing before, and that gets tagged on to what we would normally see, this drop of, you know, 20-22% of adolescent females that make the decision to come out of a sport. How do we combat those two things at the same time?
Yeah, no, it's really challenging. I think, you know, we've all sort of been through this major shift, and I think what I would love to see is outreach, you know, reaching out to players who may be hesitant, to understand what their needs, you know, we can speculate, but I think we won't know until we really go out and actually talk to those young girls who are declining coming back. What is their hesitancy? And how can we address those needs on a community level? So is it that, you know, they're worried about their health? Okay, well, then we need to address, you know, what are the protocols in play that are going to make these students feel safe? But is these are larger systemic issues, which I think seem to be, you know, rampant through women's sports, then, you know, as a country, we need to really, you know, look at this, because there is such a large number of girls who are missing out, not just on the physical benefits, but on the, you know, social and emotional benefits of sports.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, even promoting that as well, around, you know, using social media, having these athletes, you know, who've just come back from the Olympics, and having their stories come out and having them share their stories, right, around the importance of athletics, not just, you know, that you're competing at the Olympics, but just as a lifelong, as something that is important lifelong as well.
Right.
So
and
I think, you know, we need to leverage the momentum that we have to get these girls back into sport.
Right. Catch that wave of energy and catch that wave of positivity coming out of these games. And hopefully we're able to bring some people back into the fold and get them feeling comfortable, get them feeling as though. And I like that point that you made about outreach, that idea of saying, hey, you know, come and try something out and see if it's for you, right? Have a try. Is it something that you want to continue on? And you never know unless you give it a shot. So
absolutely,
we've got some work to do, obviously, doctor, but I do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll keep plugging away at this, and hopefully we can, as I said before, we can ride the tide of some positive energy right now.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Kitchener Today with Brian Burke. Weekdays beginning at noon on 570 News.